Well, thank you to everyone who has participated in the service so far, and thank you very much for the opportunity to come and speak to you. It really is a privilege. Let's just pray once more before we dive into God's Word. Father in heaven, we thank you that because of what Jesus has done, we have immediate and free access to your ear. We have immediate and free access to your heart. And you've given us understanding from your word. We pray that you would teach us new things as individuals and as a body of people from the book of Ephesians tonight. Challenge us, encourage us, and change us for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I'm sure most of us are familiar with the term show off. I don't want you to answer this out loud, just in case they're beside you, but I wonder if you know anyone who likes to show off. You know, maybe they possess something really special, really rare, and they want to talk about it all the time. They want to let you know that they have this wonderful item. Maybe someone you know is particularly good at something, and they always want to let others know, hey, I can do this. I can do that. They want to show off whatever their skill or ability is. You know, I think the reason why people like to show off is because they want the praise of others, which is really another way of saying they want the love of others. I think if we're all really honest with ourselves, we are all show-offs. We all want love and encouragement. And so we try to draw attention to ourselves. We try to show off. Well, this evening, we're going to see that God, the maker of heaven and earth, the creator and the sustainer of all things, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, he is a divine show off. He loves to show off who he is and what he has done, in order for people who have been made in his image to love him and praise him. God loves to draw attention to himself in order to draw people to himself. And we're going to see God showing off every spiritual blessing in Jesus from verse 3 of Ephesians chapter 1. See, Paul, who is the writer of this book, he once was a Jewish leader who persecuted Christians, but was brought to faith when he encountered grace on Damascus Road. And he became a radical Christian who began speaking and writing as much as possible about Jesus Christ. And this evening, we find him writing to the church in Ephesus, a metropolitan city that is now modern-day Turkey. And he's writing to teach what it means to be in a relationship with Jesus, what it means to be spiritually alive. It's a letter that unpacks our spiritual identity. And we see that from the very start of the book. Verse 1, Paul states his identity. An apostle of Christ Jesus. Not simply an apostle, but an apostle of Jesus Christ. He then states the identity of those he's writing to. To the saints who are faithful in Christ Jesus. These people are not faithful because they trust in their own good works. They're not faithful because they have a church attendance or because of their parents' faith. No, they are faithful because they have placed their trust in Jesus Christ. And this evening, as we pay special attention to verse 3 and look at the verses to follow, we're going to see Paul spell out what it means to be in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And to help us understand what Paul is saying, we're going to ask three questions of verse 3. Firstly, what does Paul mean by every spiritual blessing? Secondly, how do we inherit all these blessings? And thirdly, how does Paul want us to respond to this news? Let's read the passage one more time, and then we'll go into our first point. Verse 3, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. What does Paul mean by every spiritual blessing? Well, Paul wants to tell us that every spiritual blessing belonging to heaven is ours. We have received it. One of my favorite childhood movies was The Goonies. You may have seen it, you may be familiar with it. If not, I would encourage you to go home and watch it, but I am going to spoil the story for you. What happens in The Goonies is a group of teenagers discover a map, and they end up going on an adventure to see where this map leads them. Fast forward to the end of the film, they end up in this old abandoned pirate ship, and what do they discover but an abundance of treasure? Every kind of silver and gold imaginable, they find it. Well, this evening, Paul wants to tell us, through the use of this phrase, every spiritual blessing, that the divine treasure chest of spiritual blessings has been given to us. And yet, unlike the Goonies who had to search for the treasure, God has searched for us and he has given us all of these blessings. Now, what exactly are these blessings that you and I have received? Well, verses 4 to 10 tell us. Let me read these again. Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he has lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he has set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. If you are a follower of Jesus this evening, you are immensely blessed. Verse 4, look at it again with me. God, out of love, chose to declare you and me holy and blameless in Jesus Christ before the beginning of time. Holy, that means set apart to live a life for Jesus Christ. Blameless, you stand before God right now, covered by the blood of Jesus if you're in him. Verse 5, God, out of love, has destined you to be adopted into his family, to be his sons and daughters. Look at verse 7. God has bought you through the blood of Jesus Christ, and he has brought you back to him by forgiving you of all your sins, past, present, and future. Verse 8, God has lavished his grace on you. His grace, that is, his undeserved favor towards you. Verse 10, God has united you. He has made you one with Jesus for eternity. Paul says that these are the divine blessings that God has showed off, that he has given to us in Jesus Christ. But you know, Paul doesn't write these great truths for us just to know them. See, these great truths, these verses, these blessings, they are deeply practical. Think about it. When you are tempted to trust something else to satisfy you, what more do you need to hear than you already have everything you need in Jesus Christ? Or whenever you feel condemned by the opinion of others or even the opinion of yourself, what more do you need to know than you are blameless in God's sight? What about those times in school when you feel lonely? You want to be wanted. You want to feel a part of it, whatever it is. Well, hear this. You have been adopted into the family of God. He is your father. He has you. He loves you. And he wants you to be a part of his plan. Maybe some of us think we are more superior to others, other non-Christians. Maybe even we think we're more superior to some of our Christian friends. Well, remember that God isn't more pleased with you or me because of anything we do, but because he has lavished his grace upon us in Jesus. Maybe some of us feel the opposite tonight. We don't feel superior. We're actually struggling. We're struggling with the shame and the guilt of sin. Maybe it's sexual sin. Maybe it's anger. Maybe it's impatience. Maybe it's laziness. Maybe it's a ruined witness. Well, God has nothing but forgiveness for you in Jesus Christ. Every sin, past, present, and future, has been dealt with by the blood of Jesus. These verses are deeply practical and immensely encouraging for those of us who are in Jesus Christ. And it's the in Jesus Christ that leads us to our next question. How do we inherit these spiritual blessings? Well, Paul tells us in verse 3 that it's in Jesus we obtain these blessings. That word in is a location or a placement word, a word that has to do with whereabouts. And it's a word we use all the time as people. I'm in the car on the way to collect you. I'm in Starbucks checking in on Facebook whilst being in the line. I'm in the grocery store. I'm in work. I'm in Greece on holiday or wherever it is you go. I'm in, I'm in, I'm in. It's a word we all use, we're really familiar with. And tonight Paul is saying that it's in Christ we get these blessings. It's in placing our trust in him, in his life, in his death, and in his resurrection. It's being united to him by faith, by being one with him, that the divine treasure chest of all these blessings are ours. And this evening, you and I, we must ask ourselves, where are you? For all 7 billion people that live on this earth, there can only be two answers. We're in Jesus or we're outside of Jesus. If you're not in Jesus, God makes it clear that you are running the risk of facing his judgment for your sins. But tonight, if you trust in Jesus, well then every blessing from heaven belongs to you. Where are you this evening? My prayer is that all of us will be in Jesus. Where are you? The third question we want to ask is, how should we respond to this good news in Jesus? And verse 3 makes it clear that we're to respond by worshiping God. We're to respond by praising God. Where do we get that? Well, we see it in verse 3 and verse 6 of chapter 1. Paul says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." He actually says in the NIV, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." That word blessed or even praised can be translated to worshipped. Worshipped be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's how we are to respond to this good news. We are to worship God. You know, I once heard a story of two friends who used to go to the jobs and benefits office. What would happen is they would meet together once a week and they would go through their standard routine. However, on one particular week, one of the two men came and he greeted his friend and he was super excited. He was super, super excited. And so his friend asked him, "What's up? Why are you so happy? Why are you so excited?" And the super excited friend said, "I found out the most incredible news. I'm going to be really, really rich. One of my long-lost, far-out relatives, he passed away recently, and he has left me lots and lots of money." He said, "You, friend, are looking at a billionaire. A billionaire." His friend replied, "Fantastic. I'm so happy for you." But then the friend paused and said, "What's going to change?" The now billionaire was a bit, "What? What do you mean, what's going to change?" And his friend said, well, if the news of you becoming a billionaire is true, then your whole life is different. All of your decisions and actions are to be shaped under this life-changing news. The now billionaire friend said, yeah, you're right. Clearly, I haven't thought through the implications of this unbelievable news. Although we aren't going to go home billionaires tonight, Paul is saying that if we understand what it means to have every spiritual blessing in Jesus, then our lives should be different. Our lives ought to be shaped by this life-changing news. Our lives ought to be lives of worship. Now, how are we to worship God? Well, I think there are three ways. First of all, we are to worship God together as a family on Sundays. That is, we are to gather with other believers in Jesus. We are to worship God because of who he is and what he has done. We do this through reading the Bible, singing about God, praying to him, hearing from his word as it is taught. That's the first way we're to worship God. We're to be committed to his people, growing and serving in the local church. Secondly, we are to worship God privately through Bible reading and prayer. That is, we are to set aside time on a daily basis where we read the Bible. We maybe have a book that helps us to understand whatever part of the Bible we're reading. And we're to pray, asking for God to change us as we open his word. And thirdly, we are to have a lifestyle of worship. That is, our everyday lives should be shaped under the spiritual blessings we have been given in Jesus. Our relationships at home, in school, at the workplace, in our areas of play, in our social lives, they ought to be orientated around the question, am I trying to worship God? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. We've looked at three questions tonight. What does Paul mean by every spiritual blessing? How do we inherit all these blessings? And thirdly, how does Paul want us to respond? I pray that God would use this study to challenge you, to encourage you, and change you, that you would delight in the blessings that you have received in Jesus, and that as a result of that, you would go and worship in your everyday lives. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you that through Jesus, you've made access available, possible for all eternity with you. Would you help us to understand what it means to have every spiritual blessing in your Son, Jesus? Help us to understand what grace really is. Help us to be in love with your grace and your mercy. Help it to be alive in our hearts and in your church. And help us to share the hope of the gospel to those who don't know it. And we ask that you would make new followers. Thank you for being faithful to us and continue to grow us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.